Our lesson for this morning is the most important thing for which to be thankful. And our text is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15, which reads as follows. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed which you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for all the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God bless the reading of his word. And let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, our year is coming to a close as we are coming into the holiday season. Later this week, Lord willing, we will be celebrating the uniquely American holiday of Thanksgiving. When the pilgrims came to the New World, they first sighted land off Cape Cod, Massachusetts, but they did not settle until they arrived at Plymouth, which had been named by Captain John Smith in 1614. The first winter was devastating to the pilgrim. The cold snow and sleet was exceptionally heavy, interfering with the workers as they tried to construct their settlement. March brought warmer weather, and the health of the pilgrims improved, but of the 110 pilgrims and crew that left England, less than 50 survived that first winter. On March 16, 1621, a Native American man walked into the Plymouth settlement. The pilgrims were frightened until he called out welcome in English. His name was Samoset, and he was an Abakni Indian who learned English from the captain of fishing boats that sailed off the coast. After staying the night, Samoset left, but soon returned with another Indian named Squanto, who had visited England and spoke better English than Samoset. The pilgrims may not have survived without Squanto's help. Squanto taught the pilgrims how to tap maple trees for sap. He taught them which plants were poisonous and which had medicinal powers. He taught them how to plant Indian corn by heaping the earth in low mounds with several seeds and fish in each mound. The decaying fish fertilized the corn, and he taught them how to plant other crops with the corn. Their harvest in October was very successful, and the pilgrims found themselves with enough food to put away for the winter. There was corn, fruits, and vegetables, fish to be packed in salt, and meat to be cured over smoky fires. The pilgrim governor, William Bradford, proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving to be shared by all the colonists and the neighboring Native Americans. They invited Squanto and the other Indians to join them in their celebration. 2 years later, the spring and summer was hot and dry, and the crops were dying in the fields. Governor Bradford ordered a day of fasting and prayer, and it was soon thereafter that the rains came. To celebrate, November 29th of that year was proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving. That date is believed to be the true real beginning of the present Thanksgiving Day. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln appointed a National Day of Thanksgiving, and since then, each president has issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation designating the fourth Thursday of each November as the holiday. Now, the Apostle Paul in our text for today is discussing the financial gift that the Corinthian church is preparing for the suffering church in Judea, which is being persecuted greatly by the Jews. Paul is exhorting the Corinthians to prepare the gift in advance so that it will be available when those who are going to transport it to Jerusalem arrive in Corinth. And he is making the point to the Corinthians that they have the wherewithal to be generous because of the grace of God, who has gifted them not only with a bounteous harvest and abundant material possessions, but with the motivation to share because of their knowledge of the gospel. This is the same type of blessing that prompted the pilgrims to proclaim the first Thanksgiving celebration and to share their blessings with those around them. Our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 through 15 says, Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, while we are all rightfully thankful for the material possessions with which the Lord has blessed us, the knowledge of the gospel is the one most important gift of God for which we should be the most thankful during this holiday season. Paul tells the Corinthians that the gospel is hidden from many who are blinded by the things of the world, or as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now the generosity of the Corinthian church is an indication that they are holding the things of this world in the proper perspective, and that they understand the primacy of the Word of God and the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul exhorts the Corinthians to contribute generously as he himself is contributing his entire life to the spread of the gospel. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the spread of the knowledge of the mission of Jesus Christ, his death, resurrection, and his promise of our salvation from the penalty and the power of sin is the primary concern of God, as this information, this light out of darkness, is the primary knowledge required to allow us to successfully transition from the terrestrial to the celestial at the cessation of our earthly life. Paul goes on to say that those who are carrying the gospel find themselves persecuted by God's adversary, the devil, and the people on earth that are doing his bidding in order to blind as many as possible to the gift of God, keeping them in darkness and away from the mercy of God. Paul speaks of his own experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So Paul, recognizing the discomfort of persecution, finds himself uncomfortable, but also recognizes the positive benefit of enduring the process through which he is going, as it is bringing him to a greater unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a partaker of Jesus' suffering will lead to a parallel partaking in Jesus' resurrection, as Paul acknowledges in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, which says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So as we pray and seek God, we often focus on the things of this life, our desires, our possessions, even our health. Paul gives us the perspective that although we need and want those things, the true eternal gift of God is the resurrection power through Jesus Christ that will lift us past the mundane things of this world to another level altogether. Paul alerts us to the unseen realities of the eternal, and tries to push our perspective past that which we see to that which is of God, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 through verse 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I read an article in the Houston Chronicle that documented some of the things going on around the country because of the release of Sony's PlayStation 3. The article said tight supplies of Sony Corp's PlayStation 3 game console led to rowdiness at several stores when it went on sale Friday, and tempted new owners to sell their consoles for a profit to those who hadn't braved the throngs of sharp-elbowed shoppers. In Putnam, Connecticut, two gunmen tried to rob people lined up for the console and shot one who refused to surrender his money. In Fresno, California, police arrested two people and threatened to use tasers to break up a crowd that rushed the store and trampled the people in the parking lot. To get the attention of an unruly crowd of about 350 people, police fired paintballs at the ground outside a Target store in Henrico, Virginia. Sergio Dines, 26, who had camped out at a Best Buy in New York for 5 days to get his PS3, said that the people at the front of the line with him were beautiful. The market for secondhand PS3s flourished. Dines' cousin, who camped with him, immediately sold his PS3 for $2,500. On eBay, the two PS3 models, which cost $500 to $600 in the store, were selling for between $1,000 and $3,000. Hearing all these numbers definitely made me very conflicted, Dean said, but thinking all that I went through, I'm not getting rid of this thing. Last night, the rain messed up our tents, and we got soaked and had to sleep in the freezing cold. Now, the Apostle Paul also suffered hardship and was hard-pressed and downtrodden for the sake of preaching the gospel. But people in our culture camp outside in the freezing cold for several nights, trample one another, rob one another, and pay 5 times the retail price for a video game console, which after production is increased and the newness wears off in a few months, will probably go on sale for half or less than the retail price. Now, the perspective that we can glean from the comparison of the PlayStation 3 introduction with the spread of the gospel exactly makes the point that Paul is making in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Those things that we see and covet are things that only have temporary value, while the true eternal value is found in our unseen understanding of the gospel. The unseen attitudinal changes that mature us and allow us to recognize the temporary nature of the benefit that we receive from acquiring toys and trinkets does not compare to the permanent nature of the benefit that we receive from sharing the gospel with those who have not heard it, with sharing our biblical perspective on life with those who are living life backwards outside of the will of God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I am thankful to God for the abundant harvest with which he has blessed me and my family, and for the ability that he has given me to maintain my domicile here on planet Earth. The Lord blessed Marie and I to go on vacation for 2 weeks last month, and is blessing us again to travel to the South this month to visit my wife's family for the holiday. I look at my prayer list and I find many answered prayers on it. Prayers for those who were sick and have recovered, those who have had negative economic situations and have improved, those who have achieved academic goals, and those who have traveled and returned safely. I am thankful for the things that God has done to give us material things, and as I read the scripture this Thanksgiving, I am mindful of the fact that that which God has done for me that is the most important is that which is unseen, the changes in my belief structure, my attitudes, and my understanding that will bring my thoughts in line with his gospel. The material things that God have given me are wonderful, but like the PlayStation 3, will soon be obsolete. The fact that the name of the station is PlayStation 3 lets us know that there was a PlayStation 1 and a PlayStation 2 and implies strongly that there will be a PlayStation 4 one day. However, Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hope that we can develop the perspective that the thing that we have to be most thankful for is the fact that God made it clear to us through the testimony of the scripture and of history that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus was uniquely born to a virgin woman, becoming, as was prophesied in Genesis, the seed of the woman, and was a precocious child, one who was able to stump scholars with his questions and answers at the tender age of 12 years old, according to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 3 records Jesus' baptism by his cousin John at the age of 30, and then Jesus began a 3-year teaching and miracle ministry to transmit the meaning of the word of God to the people of Judea, but especially to a group of 12 men known as his disciples. As words of Jesus' ability to heal the sick and work miracles spread throughout Judea, the Jewish religious leadership became jealous and then more and more disenchanted with him. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus performed a singularly incredible miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead, sowing the seeds for his own destruction. John chapter 11, verse 38 through 53 records, "Then Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.' But Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that Jesus would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. So Jesus cooperated with the plot of the Pharisees to put him to death. When they brought Jesus to trial for what the high priest termed as blasphemy, there were no credible witnesses to convict Jesus of anything whatsoever. But Jesus voluntarily answered the high priest's questions, although they were illegal, giving the high priest ammunition to justify calling for Jesus' death. Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 70, and Matthew 26, 64 through 68 tells us, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And also, if I ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? Jesus said to them, it is as you have said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? The beatings and the torture continued at the hand of the Jews until they turned him over to the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate, who, although not concerned about the theological disputes of the Jews, agreed to crucify Jesus after the Jews threatened to accuse Pilate of being disloyal to Rome. John chapter 19, verse 9 through 16 records, Pilate says to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? But Jesus answered, you could have no power over at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Therefore, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Jesus spoke correctly that Pilate had no power over him, but nevertheless, Jesus allowed himself to be tortured, beaten up Calvary, and then crucified. And after speaking his seven last words, Jesus concluded by saying in Luke chapter 23, verse 44 through 46, and Matthew 27, 51 through 54, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. And then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but never did he demonstrate his power more than on that first Easter Sunday morning when he rose from the dead physically and appeared to the disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 33 through 53 says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So more than all the material gift that we might receive from God, the greatest gift that God has ever given is his sinless Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might have life, not only in this world, but also in the next, not only in the world that we can see, but in the unseen realities of heaven. Because as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So as we consider our blessings this Thursday, let us consider the fact that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, revealed his mission and purpose to us as our foremost blessing. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you that you have brought us to another November, to another Thanksgiving season, to another opportunity to take a day off and to thank you for that which you have done for us over this year, for the abundant harvest that you have given us, for the things of this life that we have and are able to enjoy. We thank you for all that we have, but we thank you even more so for those things that you have given us which are unseen. The sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we might have life not only for 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years on this side, but eternally in heaven with you. We thank you, Lord, that you sent him down from heaven to pay the penalty that we owe for the sins that we have committed and have given us a right and a just right to the tree of life. And now, Lord, we pray for all that are in the house today. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us a good week this week. And as we consider ourselves this Thursday, that we would take time to spend time thanking you for that which you have given us in the person of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us another opportunity to come out and to proclaim your word, to listen to your word, to understand your word, and to question your word. And we ask you, Lord, that that you would continue to bless us as we try to make things plain, make things clear, that you would help the insights to go forward and help those things that are being pointed out to be effective as we transform the unseen realities of our thinking processes and try to bring ourselves more in line with your thinking. And Lord, we thank you for all that in the house today. We're also praying, Lord, for Dr. Allen and his family for his trip into the city. We ask you that you give him safe traveling as he comes and as he prepares to come. And we're thanking you, Lord, that Brother Quarterman is still doing well from his heart transplant, and that Brother Uad is recovering as well from his problem. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless his family and draw them close to you that they might know you in the pardon of their sins. And we pray for those whom Sister Allen wants us to pray for. We thank you that her Aunt Alice is doing well, even in the nursing home. We're also praying for her son, who was recently in the hospital, and we're asking you that you would give him a complete recovery, even more complete than the doctors anticipate, because we know that you are the God that can heal all injuries and all wounds and all sicknesses, that you can give longevity to the body, even at the time when the doctors don't know what to do. So we just ask you, Lord, that you bless in this case and bring him back to full health, Lord. We're also praying for her sons and for her daughters. We're asking you, Lord, that you'd give them the right mind, that they might make good decisions and think positively and think thoughts that would lead them to a conclusion that they can live with. We pray, Lord, for her parents as well, for a mother that's taking care of these children. We ask you that you would give her patience and fortitude as she does so. And we pray for her father that you give him health and strength. We also pray for the others that she's asked us to pray for the store, for Grace Pendleton, for Betty Pruitt, for Judy Williams, for Arnold, and for Yvette. And we ask you that you would bless Sister Lily Hersey. And we ask you that you just Allow her to have faith in that which the doctors are telling her, that you bless Sister Heather Planner, that you give her peace and comfort as she is suffering emotionally from the loss of her parents. Also pray for Brother Tolliver Michael Bragg, who's in need of a kidney transplant. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would allow them who are taking care of him to be able to sustain him until the right type and the right donor comes along. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would bless in these cases and give these that Sister Allen is concerned about the needs that they have and meet the desires of their hearts. Draw them close to you, because we know that all of the material possessions that we obtain are temporary, but that there's an eternal reality that we need to know as well. And I'm praying for my wife, Lord, and for those whom she's asked us to pray for Rachel Dima's mother, for Mother Z. We ask you, Lord, that you bless her as she has been nominated as Chef of the Year. And we would ask you that those who are voting in that, making that decision, would look favorably upon her nomination and give her that award, as she has a great deal of longevity and a great deal of skill in that which she does. We ask you to continue to bless her, go with her, and stand by her in all that she does. For Brother Rodriguez and Brother Tyson, for Mother Versa, Mother Wills, Sister Teresa, we thank you, Lord, that Marie has had some influence on Wendy Thompson. And we ask you that you continue to allow that attitude adjustment to take place, that she might be able to become a better employee, not one looked upon negatively, but one looked upon positively by all who are involved in her situation. And Lord, we pray about our concern at home, that you bless our pet and give us a way that we can provide for him that will bring us all joy, and we can keep him in our little family. And we're praying for Paul, Lord, and asking for traveling mercies for him as he travels up and down the dangerous highway. We thank you that his company business is doing well, that things that he is looking for are coming to fruition. And we ask you, Lord, that all things would stay in place as they are, and that things would continue to go well until all the contracts are signed, all the approvals are given, all the business is done, and the checks are cut. We're asking you, Lord, that you bless in this regard, and we thank you for that which you have done for them already. Still in prayer for Brian, we're asking you, Lord, that you would give him emotional equilibrium as he goes through his situation, and that you would open up a door in his mind and in the mind of his spouse, that they might be able to reconcile their differences. I know it's difficult, and I know how they have gone down the road toward dissolving their union, but Lord, we know that you are a doctor that's never lost a patient, and that you can turn things around even when they look the darkest. So we ask you, Lord, that you would do that in this case. Praying also for Sarah Roberts, we're asking you that you would continue to bless Eric and Amanda as they prepare for their union. And we ask you, Lord, that you give them good counsel, that you give them a good platform upon which to stand, that they might be able to start off a good life together, and continue to bless Paul as he travels. Now, Lord, we're praying for Sister Cora Carruthers, and we're asking you, Lord, that you'd bless in her case, and we pray for the Edwards family. We ask you, Lord, that you would bind them together with cords of love that cannot be broken, and that you would help the young fellas to grow and mature with one another, that you would give them a more serious mindset. Help them, Lord, as they are growing up into young manhood, that they would be able to look at life with a more mature standpoint and provide those and do those things that they need to do. Help them to do well in school, to learn all that the teachers have for them, and then to deport themselves well in their interactions with one another. We ask you, Lord, that you bless in that household, and that you give their parents the time, the effort, the energy, and the strength to train them in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they do not depart from it. Lord, we thank you for the Fullers, and we ask you that you bless the store over across the street and their concerns. We are asking you also that you bless the Lee family as they are traveling today, that you would give them traveling mercies. Bring them home safely, and as they are getting ready to go away for the holiday season, that you would make things let the planes not fall out of the sky, and let all things go well in the airport and in the rental car business and all the other businesses that they have to go through, that they might be able to enjoy their trip away from home and return at the appointed time. Pray for Darius, who's still overseas. We're asking you, Lord, that you'd bless him in every regard, be a hedge of protection around him. Sometimes some things happen over there that are not safe, and we ask you that you would keep him away from all those things that might be negative. Praying for Mike Pillow, who's still on our list, and we're asking that you bless him as he's struggling with his lymphoma. Also for Sister Janet Teddy, we ask you that you continue to bless her, and Aaron Marsh as well. We just ask you that you continue to allow her to recover. We're praying for Cedric and his ability as he is involved in academics. We ask you, Lord, that you would just give him a steel trap mind, that everything the teacher says would go in and stay in until time for it to come out on test day. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless him. We're praying for Coley Robinson. We're asking, Lord, that you continue to recover his body. And for Lizzie Mae Davis, who's an older lady that has lived out past what the doctors thought she would, we pray that you would continue to give her longevity and that you would give her family the care that they need to take care of her. We just ask you that you bless those who are concerned about her case and give them their confident assurance that you're still in the healing business. Also praying for Benny Davis, and we're asking you that you bless him as he's had a serious condition befall him, and that you'd allow the doctors who are working on him to have all kinds of skill and uncommon power, and that you would intercede in that situation and bring him to a place where his family can receive him again and that he can take care of himself. Now, Lord, we're praying for the McClures, and they're also, their children are preparing to travel and come home from Missouri and from Kentucky, and we're asking, Lord, that you'd make all their traveling safe as well, and that you would bring them home for a joyous reunion on Thanksgiving Day. Let them have just a wonderful time and enjoy the time that they have with one another before they have to travel back to continue their education. We're continuing to pray for Janelle as she's traveling around preparing to do internships and looking at her future. And we ask you, Lord, that you make that future a bright future. Give her focus, give her that which she needs to make good decisions about things. And we're praying for JJ as well. We're asking that you give him direction as he's considering what he's going to do next in terms of his education. Continuing to pray for Veronica Olney and for Michael Kraft. We're thanking you that he has recovered from his situation, that he's going back to work on a full-time basis. And we're asking you, Lord, that even as he is still gaining strength, that you would continue to go with him and stand by him. Praying for the Winstons, Lord, we're asking that you continue to bless them. Brother Winston's back. We ask you, Lord, that you would heal that, allow his spine to realign, that he might be able to walk without pain or without discomfort. Go with him and stand by him in all that he does. And we thank you, Lord, that he was able to have a good chat with his son and acquaint him with some of the eternal realities of life. And we ask you, Lord, that you let the young man respond positively to that which he's learning and take the time to sit down with his dad, who's a good Christian man, and understand the reality in serving a true and a living God. We continue to pray for Sister Winston and also for Donna Powell and Lynn Poiter as well. And Lord, I'm thanking you that Dad was able to make it home safely across the airways, even though there was trouble in Chicago, that you navigated the circumstances and gathered them all under the authority of your word and brought them home safely. We ask you, Lord, that you bless him in Chicago and Aunt Naomi, and that you give Marvin traveling mercies as he's on his way to Chicago to a business meeting, that you let him get there and get back home safely, and bless all that he's doing to educate those young children that happen to be under his care at Fayetteville State University. Praying for Viola Frazier, for Brother McGill, for Sister Janet Morgan, and for the Northern and the Perkins families who are raising those young children down there in Houston, Texas, and in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to go with them and stand by them, that you would give them wisdom as parents, that they might lead their children, that they might train them in the way that they should go. Help them, Lord, those little young children, keep them safe and just allow them to grow and develop in your word. We're also praying for Brother Russell, who's still in White Hills, Brother Sifford, who's still in Iraq. And we're just thanking you, Lord, that you have been with us, and we're asking you that you continue to bless Sister Flanagan and her son, who has had a problem with his leg but was able to make it successfully through the football season this year playing ball on the team. We ask you that you continue to allow him to grow, grow in strength and in his ability as well as his academics as well. Now, Lord, we pray for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for those who are in town fleeing the wrath of the hurricane of last year, and for those who are helping them as they relocate here. We're praying for those who are in the armed forces. We're asking you especially that you bless Rick as he is in Baghdad today. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would keep him safe from the bombs and the bullets and the guns. Cover him, Lord, with your hand as the IEDs are blowing up people and killing over there, that you would allow him to be vigilant, that you'd allow him to be safe. And then even in case of something happening that his vigilance would not prevent, that you would intercede and keep him safe in his hour of need. Now, we're praying for all who are in the military, either here or there, that you'd bless them. We're praying for the young men and women in this neighborhood as well. And if there's any in our family and among our friends that do not know you in the pardon of their sins, we're praying this morning that you would allow them to receive this most important gift sometime between now and Thanksgiving, that they might be thankful on this Thursday for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, and that they might recognize not just the realities of this life, but the realities of the life to come. And now, Lord, we thank you for the place that you've given us, for the word, for the electronic equipment that you've given us, that we might make the word plain. For all that you've done here for us, we want to thank you once again. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. And I thank you for my wife, who's the love of my life. I ask that you continue to bless her and give us a good trip out of town this week. Allow us to enjoy time with family and make it back home safely, that we might be able to impart your word once again. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave his life that we might have a right and a just right to the tree of life. He died on Calvary that we might be able to be forgiven of the sins that we have committed, that we might be able to show ourselves to God, and while covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be able to enter the everlasting kingdom of God and live with him in glory forever and ever. This is the great gift of Jesus Christ, for which we are most thankful, and we ought always remember, especially on Thanksgiving, that which he has done for us. So let us remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us, and let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And I may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen.